A very good day, good listener, and thank you so much as always for clicking on this podcast and this particular episode of Joe Blogs About Films, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener. Like I say on every episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate all your support. Danny Boyle and Alex Garland changed the game for horror with their 2002 release, 28 Days Later. Though the film doesn't technically have zombies in, the idea of infected people being able to charge at you full speed certainly opened the door for other creatives to follow suit. Until then, we'd only really been exposed to George A. Romero's work or any other film in which The Walking Dead was slow and easy to evade. But 28 Days was huge, not only its impact on Arrival, but also being the breakout role for a few cast members, most notably Cillian Murphy. And following the pretty impressive sequel 28 Weeks Later, a film that is arguably one of cinema's most ferocious and intense openings, audiences and fans have had to wait a little while for a new entry within this world, and finally, in 2025, we have one, and it's excellent. 28 years later reunites both Boyle and Garland as they dive into how this world would function nearly 30 years after the infection's initial outbreak. In terms of the overall story, I think this could possibly be my favourite of the bunch. Now, you could say that's recency bias, but I genuinely think that this sequel has the best story to tell out of all three, and that's probably down to what is displayed and presented within this version of the UK that we enter. There is a lot to unpack in this film, especially thematically. Not only is this a coming-of-age story for the young boy in here named Spike, but it taps into that tribalism within and the idea of a Britain that's cut off from the world, which of course reeks of Brexit. It's almost tongue-in-cheek at times, as if Boyle himself is giving a wink to the camera as he puts us in a Britain that has to start again and learn to live in the ways of the past in order to progress. It's not that the film is overly political, but those calling for things to stay the same or even reminisce how things were in their day can finally experience a country that is isolated and alone. But even with these nods and themes, there is still beauty to appreciate with how it's human nature to survive and thrive where possible. The idea that a whole community have been able to continue on their island for as long as they have allows for a real deep dive into what kind of people have now been left behind and how the remnants of society have been moulded to this world. Not only this, but Boyle explores the other side of that coin too, that being the infected. At the end of 28 days, it appeared that they were slowly dying due to lack of food resource, jump 30 years forward, and the infected are doing just fine, if anything, probably doing better now than they ever have, and that's down to their own evolution and again moulding to this world. It's an interesting concept and one that I thought was done very well, and it may not have the same impact as what we got in those first two films where we have swarms and swarms of infected running around London. However, I thought the mirroring of humans evolving and adapting, along with that of the infected, was handled and executed glisteningly. This may not be the film that some are going to expect when going in, but there's no denying the talent and skills behind the scenes that have brought such a visceral and intense experience, captured gorgeously through the film's cinematography. On top of that, the performances in 28 years from the cast is genuinely terrific and conveys such emotion that there is some very, very strong beats here and there. It may have taken a long time for another installment, but 28 years later has me so excited of what is to come within the rest of this trilogy. But before we do proceed, of course, just another quick thank you for clicking and spinning this episode and podcast. If you haven't already and like what you hear, please hit the follow and notification button on the streaming app of your choice, because you'll never miss a beat and we'll be updated with all future episodes. And whilst you're at it, head over to Instagram and Facebook and search Joe Blogs About Films, hit like and follow on those pages, but finally rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple or wherever, because it helps a lot, it means a lot, and again I thank you all for your support. A group of survivors of the Rage virus live on a small island. When one of the group leaves the island on a mission into the mainland, he discovers secrets, wonders and horrors that have mutated not only the infected but other survivors. I said a moment ago how this may not be the film that some are going to expect. There's not a huge horde of sorts or endless attacks from the infected within a city setting. Instead, we have a very deep and emotional story of survival and how that looks 30 years after an outbreak. Aside from a brilliant opening sequence set on the first day of said outbreak, in which children have been chased and attacked by infected adults all the while the Teletubbies come out to play, the film primarily sets itself up as a road trip of sorts, a day out between a father and son, exploring this whole new world that the son has never seen before and the terrors that come with it. You could certainly see this as two films in one. The first half of 28 years definitely has the more suspenseful and tense moments involving the infected, whereas the second half looks more inward at family and love, as well as that sense of growing up too soon. The most impressive component to both halves, though, is that it's done excellently through the eyes of the young boy Spike. Alfie Williams puts on a stunning performance in this role. We follow him as he takes this rite of passage with his father, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, again another another brilliant display from the actor, and they both make their way through the mainland for Spike's first experience and kill. This is where the film is at its best. Like, honestly, the suspense and intensity comes in with no warning, and before you know it, these two characters have been held down in an attic of an abandoned farmhouse of sorts, whilst the infected, or rather the alpha, waits for them to make their move. This gives me a chance to quickly mention the infected in this one and how years presents them 30 years down the line. It's established through the film's opening, the rest of the world has sorted themselves out and have isolated the infection to the UK and the UK only. This does allow for an entertaining conversation between a Swedish soldier and the young Spike, as Spike, you know, sees an iPhone for the first time and experiences the internet and stuff, as well as having a glimpse at what society is like everywhere else. It's charming, but so hilarious. Though with the UK being isolated as the only place the infection resides, it's allowed that next step into evolution for the ones that are infected. It's much more than just simply pure rage, which is still there, of course, but it's now reached a point of being animalistic with how the infected act. They stick in packs, hunt together, eat together, and have their own alpha, which is pretty much keeping this new infected breed going. Not to mention that the infected are naked and running around with giant knobs on display. Honest to God, these alphas are alphas in every sense of the word. Watching this thing in 3D would take your bloody eye out, but it's again that whole world building that Boyle and Garland have delivered that really puts you in the thick of it. So many beautiful shots and sequences on location that end up turning into pure adrenaline as these new infected begin to charge. If you're wanting that high intensity and edge of your seat experience, the first half of this film is exactly that, and Boyle makes the most of it. We get some pretty unique kill shots within years that caught me off guard, in a good way of course. With every arrow that hits one of the infected, the hit would then cause a freeze frame, whilst the camera then mirrors itself and we see the fatality from the other side, if that description makes any sense whatsoever. If you've seen the film, you'll know what I mean. It was an interesting approach and one that makes this 28 film stand out amongst the ones that have come before. It certainly felt like Boyle was utilising the technology at their disposal, given that some of this was shot via a rig setup of many iPhones. It felt cutting edge in most cases, but after the fifth or sixth time though, you could maybe call it overkill. However, I appreciated this all the same, as it kind of had that feeling of something old yet new, a theme in which 28 years is laced with, considering that we are dealing with an England that has been cut off from the world, that the people left have had to revert to a simpler time. The arrival onto this mainland is such an eye-opener for Spike, as he experiences just how violent this place is. His whole life so far has been surviving with his family and community on Holy Island, that's separated from the mainland by the high tide. No sooner does he step onto that mainland, his whole world changes. He's reaching an age where he's now ready to venture out and become a man, so to speak. He's still learning, of course, he's still developing himself, which is where the real character switch comes in for Act 2 of the film. Spike begins to see the flaws in his father, something that Boyle really taps into and does so quite well. There's always a stage of life where you begin to realise that these people that have loved and nurtured you aren't 100% flawless as they seem, and with that, we make our own path and choices within our lives. And that's exactly what Spike does. It's worth noting that Jodie Comer's character, Isla, again, unbelievable from Jodie Comer in this film, another standout performance. She is resting on Holy Island with some form of illness, and this illness has taken its toll on the family, but in different ways. From Spike, you know, we have him showing that care and nurture that his mother once gave him, you know, sneaking bacon up to her room so she's got some form of breakfast to eat, whereas from Taylor Johnson's Jamie, there's almost a frustration at this life that he has at home, exhaling before going upstairs to check on her when thinking that no one's watching. Jamie's life inside the community is a different one to the one he has outside the walls. When he's back after their initial trip, his and Spike's that is, he's claiming his son to be the hero and the David within this Goliath story, something that Spike just cannot understand because it's not the truth. Jamie is essentially trying to mould his son into another version of him, and that's where the cracks begin to appear. Not just for Spike, but also for the audience to bear witness to. It's why Spike takes things into his own hands, and come Act 2, he's then taken his mother to see a doctor, played by Ralph Fiennes, that he's suddenly been made aware of. This is where Williams as Spike claims the movie as his own, and it's marvellous. It's fascinating that we get the bigger and more physical side of his performance in the first act with Taylor Johnson, but then we get that smaller and much grounded performance with Act 2, in which Williams can really show off that softer side of his performance. He and Comer have some bittersweet moments, none more so than their final exchange before finds as Dr. Kelson, all covered in iodine, surrounded by skulls of the many that he's cremated and laid to rest, helps them both with their suffering. There's a look between Comer and Fiennes that is so small, yet in the grand scheme of what has happened to her, has such a weight of her accepting her own fate. It's touching, moving, and heartbreaking rolled into one, but again, it shapes young Spike for the kind of person he wants to be. It's also that notion that horror can really be anything that you want it to be, something that Years explores throughout its entire run. Horror doesn't have to be all blood and guts, only discovered through the infected as they tear people from limb to limb, literally. It could be something as life-changing as the loss of a parent. It's simply horrifying having the skull of your own mother handed back to you and having then to place it as part of this bone temple that Dr. Kelson has put together. That's not to say that the film doesn't have its dark imagery, because of course it does. Heads are torn from bodies along with spines still attached, you know, blood is thrown up, and of course we have the dangling infected in that farmhouse, all bruised and battered with the name Jimmy inscribed. This idea that horror is subversive lends itself to the film's ending, one that is of course causing much divide between audiences. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not fully sold on this ending in terms of how jarring it is compared to the rest of the film, but there's no denying that what Garland and Boyle were attempting has fully paid off, because we're all here talking about it. All the way through the film, the name Jimmy has been appearing in some form or capacity, and lo and behold, in the climactic moments, Spike is saved from some infected by Jack O'Connell and his friends, all in different coloured tracksuits and rocking long blonde hair, reminiscing that of the disgraced Jimmy Savile. Leaving all Power Rangers action to one side, I did feel uneasy watching this transpire and play out, but that is what Garland and Boyle want you to feel. It's again using horror in a different capacity. In this world that Years resides in, the outbreak happened in the very early 2000s, therefore Savile was never condemned for the disgusting crimes that he committed, and still is hailed as an icon in the eyes of many survivors within this world. That in itself is horrifying and extremely thought-provoking, and it's the reason why I think Years succeeds where other stories fail. It constantly attempts to push its audience into extreme places, which yes, may not work for all, but it really did leave me stunned and equally intrigued slash excited for the next chapter in this trilogy. I feel there is so much more that I could go into and waffle away about regarding this film and what it delivers, but to save your ears from bleeding, I will wrap things up. My main goal was not only to review 28 Years, of course, but also to try to get across just how much I enjoyed this film and what experience I had when watching. Horror fans this year have been eating good, and whilst 28 Years is seemingly dividing audiences, I can't help but feel the more that I think about it, the more I loved and enjoyed what Boyle, Garland and the team have released here. It's a terrific legacy sequel that pretty much could be just a solo film on its own, to be honest. If you're craving some out-of-the-box and intense original story, then you need not look further, because 28 Years Later has you covered completely. A mesmerizing and immersive experience that shows the best and worst of humanity. I've been back and forth on the score for this one, and whilst I do think it's near perfect, that ending still has me conflicted, as well as the fact that it isn't the full story, you know. So with that, I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. It's strange giving a film a 9 and feeling like I've been a little bit too harsh on doing so, but that's how good this thing is. Never know though, in a month or two, I could be revisiting this thinking, yeah, this should have probably been a 10, but alas, there we go. What a film. I would love to know, more importantly, what you guys think of 28 Years Later. Get in touch on the socials, all that jazz. Are you looking forward to the Bone Temple, I think the next one's going to be called? Very, very eager to see how that's all going to transpire. But as always, a massive thank you for spinning, for listening, all that jazz. Keep in touch on the socials. I'll be back with more reviews. Don't you worry. But until the next episode, take care.